Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, better late than never. I mean, it certainly took long enough. It's the middle of September, and by his standards, which have been phenomenal to start a career, certainly in the power department, Pete Alonso has had a wildly disappointing season. And then comes Monday, and we didn't learn about this until Tuesday, that there was a meeting, and Stearns was there, and Mendoza was there, and there was one player who spoke up. Because the last meeting, Pete was at the hospital after he got drilled getting x-rays. And, of course, that helped get the Mets going, and a lot of us point to that moment and that meeting as a jump-off point for these 2024 New York Mets. And listen, I understand, I know that Pete's goofy, and he's not great with a mic, and he leans on cliches, and it is what it is. And he's not performed the way he's needed to perform this season. But this is a flicker of hope, because the one thing that I think has been largely forgotten, and this is coming from a guy who's told you many times going back to last year, there is no way I would give Pete Alonso a long-term deal. Pete Alonso is still incredibly capable of going on a heater that can carry this team for a month. I give him immense credit and immense respect, probably stepping out of his comfort zone and addressing a locker room that knows he's a little odd in a good way, and then going out and backing it up and hitting the three-run bomb, all right, meaningless, whatever, pounding the Nationals, the Mets are rolling, and Pete Alonso just jumped into the party.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I mean, you say meaningless, whatever, but again, it was a three-run homer where they were up 6-1 against the Nationals. The game was over.
But he did stuff before that.
Yeah, okay, a little bloop flare in the right field. Now, I'm not knocking him. He did have three hits, and he hit the hard double, you know, off the wall in right center field or right field, which could have been a home run as well. It was a nice game for Alonso, and the bloop hit, the, excuse me, two-ribby single that blooped in there was more important than the home run because of the time that it happened in the game. I've heard this before with Alonso. I've said it before. Hey, this is where Pete's going to get hot. This is where Pete's going to take off. And yet we haven't seen it. The impact hasn't been felt. I'm not going to go nuts and believe that Pete is back and Pete's going to go on a heater and carry the team because he hit a meaningless three-run homer. I got to be consistent. If Giancarlo Stanton did this for the Yankees, I'd be saying, hey, yeah, big deal. It's 6-1 game against the Nationals. So big deal, Pete. The game was over. It wasn't an important home run. Another stat where you another moment where you're padding your stats and piling on. Now, I'm not knocking him.
Yep.
I'm just trying to bring everybody back to reality for a second. What the Mets are doing is great. What Alonso did last night was nice. Ultimately, he's got to do it in big moments against the better teams like the Phillies, like the Braves, and then like the Brewers if the Mets are to be a playoff team. And because he had, you know, he said something in the meeting, I'm not, oh, Pete has turned the corner. Pete is back. Lifelong Mets, sign him up. Look, maybe the Mets will extend him. Maybe the Mets will make him a lifelong Mets. Who the hell knows? We'll decide that at the end of the year. We'll figure it out. But I'm not going to overreact to a bloop base hit and a meaningless three-run homer as far as the impact on the game goes.
Listen, even before last night, he's shown some signs here. But, I mean, can you show the man a little more respect than the Giancarlo Stanton analogy? Pete is, and I'm not even a huge Pete Alonso fan.
Right.
He's so much better than Stanton.
Well, I'm just saying that Stanton would hit a meaningless homer and I'd get on him. So if that's going to be the case, I'm not going to go nuts by it. The guy, he hit a three-run homer when they're up 6-1 against the Nationals when the game is over.
You got to start somewhere. Listen, I just think it's very hard for Pete because he's just awkward.
You think this gets him going?
Yeah, I do.
Well, how about this?
I actually do.
How about
and
this?
By the way, Sal, I think the fact that he stepped, I think for Lindor, and for Martinez to speak up in front of the team, you know, whatever, a couple of months ago. I think that's more natural for them. I think, and you've seen it when he dropped the F-bomb on the field with Gelb. He's just awkward. He is what he is socially.
Which is fine. That's lovable to a certain extent.
No question. When I say goofy, it's kind of a term of endearment provided you're playing well, all right, and which he has not, for the most part, played this season. But let's not forget, and again, coming from me, who's been a verbal detractor in terms of him being here for a long time and his lack of leadership and all the other things that I've talked about, 30 years old, heavy-footed first baseman, righty stick. It's going against the grain and the recent trends in Major League Baseball. Why would you give him 6, 7, 8 years, which they're not going to, nor would I. But for that man to step up in front of that room, you know that was uncomfortable for him yesterday. And when the general manager and the manager address the team about Lindor and, hey, what we're trying to do and where we're going, and he steps up and he says whatever he said, however he said it, and then he hits a 3-run bomb, and the Mets win again, and they pummel a bad national team 10-1. Nationals team 10-1. I do believe that this could be the start of Pete Alonso saying, I'm going to carry you guys for a little bit because he's capable of it.
About friggin' time, but let's see it. A 3-run homer in a 6-1 game against the Nationals is not carrying this team. He's got to do it against Philadelphia. What happened over the course of the weekend? Well, they didn't have Lindor. He was banged up. The offense was nowhere to be found in a hitter's ballpark. And Pete Alonso, the only home run he hit. You know, Bryce Harper's going deep multiple times. Look around the league. All their stars are hitting big home runs. Judge and Soto are on fire as they're getting hot. And Pete Alonso's only home run comes against a position player and Roger Clemens' kid. The Mets needed him against Philadelphia. They didn't get that. They're going to need him again against Philadelphia. The one thing that I love that Pete said, he was talking about, and he's the right guy to talk about this. Talking about how he wants to celebrate with the guys because they didn't have an opportunity to do that in 2022 because they didn't want to celebrate until they won the division.
I remember that bothering you. I remember we talked about that.
I was fine with saying you're not going to celebrate until you win the division. But the problem is they coughed up the division to Atlanta, and they didn't have a chance to celebrate, period, which is something that they should have had because they won 101 games, and they didn't even get to have a champagne celebration. And then before you knew it, it went from potentially division winners to being out in 3 games against the Padres, and that was that. The only team that didn't have a champagne celebration. Pete endured that. He lived through that. Now, I mean, again, they could have done something about it and actually beat the Padres or beat the Braves for a game, but he lived through that. He doesn't want to have that happen again. So I like that coming from him, saying that he wants to celebrate with his teammate. What he said in the meeting, fine. I just need to see him go do it, BT. Him and the rest of those Mets players, whether it's Lindor, whether it's Nimmo, they have something to prove still. Go beat the Braves head-to-head in Atlanta. Even though they have a 2-game lead now, they're going to have to do it then. So I'll get excited when Pete homers against the Phillies or when Pete homers against the Braves or when Pete homers against the Brewers to put the playoff spot away, not against the Nationals in a game that was already won by the Mets.
All right, it's number. Let's get to this. 888-808-1019. I couldn't wait to start the show today. I thought that was really, really impressive. Big on his end, going up there and speaking, and then following things up. Meaningless home run, whatever. Hey, they say sometimes a little bloop. You know, you're 1-for-19. A little bloop, a little dribble, and that gets you going. Why can't a little quote unquote meaningless home run get you going as well? It can. And listen, I've always said, I'm never building a team long-term around Pete Alonso, but I'm also going to remind myself, because maybe even at times this year I've forgotten that, this man is a prolific home run hitter all time, right there with Ralph Kiner and others. Don't tell me he can't carry this team for a month or so. And with Lindor's status unknown, they're going to need it. Awesome start, and I'm happy for him. Let me say that as well. I'm actually happy for Pete. All right, 888-808-1019. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It's my buddy Pete getting hot at the right time. Josie is on Staten Island, BT and Sal. Josie, what's going on?
Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
My name's Jose.
Oh, Jose. It says, my bad.
What's up, Jose?
It says Jose.
Evan.
What?
Hello?
Yeah, Evan's not here.
Off to a bad start, buddy.
No, my mistake. Go up. Sal, my mistake. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sal, you keep saying, the Mets won that game before Alonso hit the 3-run home run. Yo, I got news for you. Atlanta was up 5-1 against the Cincinnati Reds. Mm-hmm. And guess who won that game?
Yeah.
You can't say it's over until the last out.
That's right, Jose.
Yeah. It was 6-1. It was 6-1. He piled on. It was 6-1. It was a pile on.
It's better to keep piling on because, you know something? You never know with this game. Who can come back at any time?
But Jose, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about it wasn't a big home run. Like, I didn't see anything from Pete last night that would make me believe that he's going to carry this team now. I've seen moments from Pete throughout the course of the year, and everybody keeps saying, well, he could carry this team. He could get hot and carry this team for a month. There's 2 weeks left in the season. Less than that, actually.
And I agree with you.
Okay.
But let's hope he's starting to crawl. He's starting to crawl before he starts walking. Hopefully, he better start running.
There's 11 games left. There is no time to crawl and then walk, Jose. He's got to start running.
Listen,
let's go, baby. It's time to wrap it up.
If he starts running, let me tell you something. You're going to be sounding different if he starts running during Philadelphia and Atlanta series. I'll guarantee you that.
Well, hopefully he will. Thank you, Jose. That's a different story, Jose, and good call.
That's what Sal said, by the way. That's what he wants.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And by the way, that's not just for Pete. That's for the entire team.
Yeah.
And I've been saying that for weeks. Like, it's great that the Mets are two games up now on Atlanta and tied with the Diamondbacks.
Here you go.
They're still going to be judged on what they do against Philadelphia and more specifically Atlanta head-to-head.
I'll tell you this. If the score was 10-1 and they banged out the 14 hits like they did and they had three home runs, Acuna went down. Alvarez starting to heat up a little bit as well, very quietly. Even the other night.
That was a bigger home run because the game was 4-1 at the point.
It was nice, but even, and we talked about this very briefly because yesterday was a big Giants day here. I loved the night before when the Mets won it with the Ghost Runner where he was in the hole. I think it was 0-2 or 1-2 and he had that nice, pretty deep
sack
to the
line,
warning track, kind of a line, not even like a pop up, kind of a liner. I thought that was a good approach, and he's been hitting a couple of home runs. He's waking up a little bit. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. If the Mets won 10-1 and did all the things that they did, including Pete with five or six RBIs, and the home run, but he didn't lead the team meeting, or at least didn't step out of his cup, like that to me, that is why I'm so intrigued and impressed, because when you're not carrying your weight, and he hasn't, and he knows it, deep down, Boris knows it. Deep down, everybody in that locker room knows that on some level, 10, 12, 15%, however you want to quantify it statistically, Pete has not done what we thought he would do. And he's not comfortable with a microphone. To look in the eyes of 25 grown men, more because there were officials there, and go out and produce five ribbies, hey, that is impressive to me. I don't know how you don't love that.
I think the meeting.
You always say he's not a leader, and I don't disagree.
Well, he tries to lead.
He hits a home run. It's not good enough for you.
I think the meeting part of it is being blown up. And I told you I liked what he said, but I think that that's being blown up. He's the only player to speak. It wasn't a players only meeting, and it wasn't the same meeting that they had when they were struggling with Lindor and Martinez being front and center.
True.
Back then, so that to me is not irrelevant, but. It's not the same impact. And, yeah, he had a great game.
I think it's more. Can I tell you why? I don't know if it's a great analogy here, but, you know, we do our meetings. We were discussing some things, you and Hoff and Patty Boyle today. Now, imagine a station meeting, like a state of WFAN.
Right.
Now, I mean, I'm fairly comfortable speaking in front of anybody. I think you are as well. And we happen to know Chris Olivero, our boss forever. And I've known Ryan Hurley, our new PD, brand manager for 20 years. So there's familiarity there. But I would feel, not everybody would feel comfortable speaking in front of bosses.
Right.
He did. So he's not even comfortable talking on the field with Gelbs.
Right.
But here he was in front of the manager and the new GM, who might not even want him,
by the way. And what he said I thought was fine about celebrating. Yeah, to me, I didn't get the sense of, wow, what a leader. Like, I'm not changing my opinion on that. I know what Pete Alonso is. He's a great power hitter. I just want to see him hit some big home runs. I do. Here, instead of talking about, well, he could carry this team for a month, he could carry this team for a stretch, I want to see him actually do it.
Oh, maybe he started last night.
Let's see.
I like it. Frank's and Ron Conkham of BT and Sal. Frank, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hello,
what's up, Frank?
Frankie.
What's going on? I totally agree. I think that Pete Alonso is a great player. I think that, he's having a pretty tough year this year. But honestly, I agree. I'm not really impressed right now. Listen, it's the Nationals. They're the worst team in probably baseball, if I had to look.
Yeah.
Honestly, let me say National League. But I will say it comes down to this series coming up, the Phillies. If Pete Alonso steps up without Lindor, great. I will be a little surprised. But you have to look at, again, the Atlanta series, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers, too. I agree. I think you need,
how about a three-run homer in the first inning? Or a two-run homer, whatever it may be. Or a big spot home run. Like, those are things that he's going to have to do. Now, again, last night, you're not taking away BT. He had five ribbies, sure, but he, because of what happened in the past, and the rest of this core group, Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, those guys are going to be judged on what they do down the stretch here. It's nice that they have a two-game lead now. It's not over. Long way from over. And last time it went down to Atlanta in 2022, all they had to do was win a single game. They failed to do so. It might be the same thing this time. Maybe they go in there just needing one win, and they're going to eliminate the Braves or clinch a playoff spot. Are they going to do it? I don't know. They have to prove it. And Alonso's going to be a big part of that, especially with Lindor being banged up.
Listen, here's what I know. To flourish in October, you got to get to October. Yep. All right? So I understand, again, I'll put quotes around, a meaningless home run against the Nationals, who are pretty much a doormat this year. That's one thing, and doing that against the Braves or Phillies, quite the other. But if last night was not necessarily a foreshadow of a heater, of a two-week run
right.
against divisional foes to cement the postseason spot, and you know, he has a little intermittent success, fluctuates without Lindor, but he's not carrying the Mets into the postseason. But they get there. And then he hits two or three big home runs in October.
That's a different story.
But that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's not always linear. I mean, right. It's got to start somewhere. His head must be a mess this year. I'm just impressed by a guy who stepped out of a comfort zone. He doesn't speak. Not that he's not intelligent. He doesn't. It's not easy. It's right. not normal. It's not natural for him to address. I don't think a lot of people in a very public forum like that. And I thought he did a great job. And he backed it up. Frank's in White Plains. Frankie, what's going on?
Hello, guys.
Hey, Frank.
See, I didn't bother you all summer because I was away. I just came back.
Where'd you go, Frankie?
I went to Italy and Croatia and Montenegro.
Oh, welcome back, very Frank. Nice. Good to have you aboard.
Yeah, and I had a great time.
Attaboy.
Listen, Sal, you are 100% right. Because you know what happened is I got the Allstars the other night when they won in 10 innings, and he keeps striking out all the time. Listen, Alonso has to put us in the playoffs to get that big contract. That's why he's there for. Other than that, forget about him.
Yeah, but
okay?
Now, Frank.
And I'm a huge fan.
Yep. I got you. No, I remember when you haven't called us. You didn't call us from Italy, but I know that you're a big fan. I got you. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Welcome back to the States. Hopefully you had a good summer. What'd you say, Italy and Croatia?
Yeah. Mm. Not bad. I've never been either.
I mean, did you go solo or did you go with someone? I don't know what's better.
Well, I'd have to go with my wife.
Well, I'm saying him.
Oh, him.
I don't know what's better.
Yeah, well.
Depends. A lot of nice beaches out there. Anyway. This is not about, because I don't believe he's going to get 6 or 7 years. There's no way I would do it. But, you know, Pete Alonso, who has been a polarizing figure for really since he stepped into our lives here, because you know, he breaks the rookie home run record by hitting 53 home runs. We're like, wow, who's this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he kind of just takes the imagination of Met fans and you're wondering, like, is this an all-time great? 500 in terms of home runs,
right.
Like that power prowess. And then the contract, and then, you know, the average declining for two straight years. It is easy to forget that Pete Alonso, for his Mets tenure, has been a lot more of a star than not.
Well, think about this. In a bad year, he's going to hit 35 home runs. He's got 33 right now. You'd hope that he's going to hit at least a couple more before the season's over. So in a bad year, he's still going to hit 30-plus home runs. That's what he does consistently, produce with power. He's not going to hit 50 every year, but you should get between 35 and 40 the majority of time. The average is what used to separate him because you could be a power hitter that's going to hit 260, something like that.
Yep.
That's what made him special early on. Obviously, that's dropped off, as you mentioned. You know, this year, he's at 246. Last year, was at 217. But to me, of those, and it plays the part of last night, for a guy to have 33 home runs but have minimal impact on this team, that's actually hard to do. Like, how have those 33 home runs been, for the most part, quiet? I'm not saying every one of them was meaningless or wasn't clutch, but you just felt, watching this team all year long, we've had this conversation many times, BT.
No question.
That his impact in comparison to others, whether it's Lindor, Vientos, Iglesias, you name them, Alonso's impact has not been felt the way that you expect it to be. That needs to change for the final 11 games of the season and the postseason.
And if last night's the start, everybody's going to forget. And I think last night was the start. I think he's going to go nuts for a little bit here. I'd love to see it. Trip, because if he doesn't, I don't think the Mets can get to the World Series.
You know what I'd love to see?
Huh?
You get some water. What's going on?
I know. I'm a little sick.
Are you?
Well, I mean, I'm just battling.
Yeah. You came in today sick?
Dude, you came in the other day when your wife had COVID.
I know, but we took a test. I was good to go. No, it's all right.
Waste the money on those stupid tests anymore. If I could breathe, I'm coming in. All right, 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. Is Pete back? Next, more calls on the Fan.
When this happened, you...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here we go. Yeah, that's a good tune right there. Boy, Patty, it's BT and Sal, 1027 on The Fan. We've got Howie Rose coming up at 11, Susan Waltman at 1230, Dominguez going yard, Judge getting hot, Yanks win, and the Yanks starting to bury the O's. We'll get to that a little bit later, but we'll get to these calls as well. 888-808-1019, the start maybe of a little Pete Alonso renaissance here as he spoke to his teammates, then he goes yard, Mets with a big win. Luis Angel Acuna. Initial thoughts of what are your new players here, Sal?
I got to be honest with you, BT. I've been impressed since day one. He had an at-bat. I don't know if you saw this. You were in Tennessee, I think. He had an at-bat Saturday in his debut against the Phillies closer, Estevez, who's a good closer in a key spot. And he just had a terrific at-bat and didn't look overmatched. Now, forget the results for a second. Last night, the results were great for Acuna. But I just want to look at the player and see if he belongs, if he looks like he belongs right away. And I think you see that with Acuna. And again, another example of don't take too much stock in what happens results-wise in the minor leagues. You look at the numbers and you're like, he's not ready. And yet he comes up here, and even Mendoza was saying the same thing. That was an impressive at-bat, and he's looked impressive. He's looked like a player. And last thing you saw the ball jump off his bat. I think he's a player, dude.
Acuna. I mean, I got to see more. I mean, again, even if the minor league numbers were amazing, maybe I'd be a little bit more intrigued. I'm not saying he can't be good, because the one thing that I do see... and you're right, the ball jumped off his bat, and I do look for that.
Lasers, I like it. The line drives.
A little life to it. You can tell, put it on the screws, which is nice. He's definitely not going to be overwhelmed by the environment because of his brother.
But that's a huge element
here. It's a massive thing. And listen, he fielded it. I know he made an error last night, but most of the chances he handles fairly seamlessly. Now, Nolan Dorr, big picture, means nothing good for the Mets. Right. That's just the bottom line. But as a stopgap, as a Band-Aid, and then maybe as a bridge to the future? Yeah, so far I'm intrigued. I'm not going to go nuts, but he looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's probably... Look, right now, I would keep him on the postseason roster, put it that way. Lindor comes back if they make
the postseason. I heard you say that last night on SNY. Yeah, because he could run.
Yeah, he could play defense. God forbid anything happens. Somebody gets banged up. I trust him. Again, young players are going to make mistakes. Like you said, you saw it last night. But for the most part, when I watch Acuna, and I think this is the greatest compliment you could pay a younger player. When I watch him, I'm not looking at a rookie in my mind. I'm looking at a player that looks like and feels like he belongs in the big leagues. To do that early on, especially in New York, in this environment, in a playoff-type atmosphere, playoff push, yeah. I think Acuna's been impressive.
That's here. A good sign, no question. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Pete Alonso. Oh, Pete. Hey, he's joining the party now, boy. Hey, better late than never. And going out there, stepping out of his zone, addressing the boys, going yard, Mets win. I think it's heater time for Pete. Let's get Larry up in Westchester, BT and Sal. What's up, Larry?
Hey, BT, Sal, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Larry?
How you doing, man?
Good, good, good. Listen, BT, couldn't agree with you more. I give Pete a lot of kudos for stepping out of his comfort zone because, let's face it, he is socially awkward.
Yes.
And addressing a crowd is very uncomfortable if you're not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, Pete's future with the Mets as far as the contract goes, I think a lot of it depends on what they do with Juan Soto. If they sign Soto, it's going to make it that much easier for the Mets to play hardball with Pete. But if they lose out on Soto, they really have to sign Alonso.
Well, I got news for you. I mean, if the Mets get Juan Soto, and this is probably much deeper discussion for a different day, although we've obviously danced in these waters often. If the Mets get Juan Soto, I think the Yankees might make a push for Pete, which is nothing I want a part of.
Right.
Let's not get this twisted. As much as I'm thinking that Pete could get hot here, and he's capable of carrying a team, whether Lindor comes back or doesn't for a little bit, No, I'm not. That's not a trade that I have any interest in making.
One thing I felt and have said consistently is that I do not believe the pursuit of Soto is going to impact Pete Alonso's time with the Mets or not. I think they're two separate things. It's not either or, and it better not be. You're talking about acting a king, joke around with the King Cohen stuff, which has been put on ice until further notice. We'll see what happens in this offseason, but it can't be, well, if we sign Soto, we can't bring Alonso back, or, well, we sign Pete, now we can't go get Soto. No, it should be about a baseball decision. If you believe that Pete Alonso is worth investing in based on whatever the market is for him and you want him to be here, bring him back. If not, you let him walk. I mean, that's it. It shouldn't be tied together with Juan Soto.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. I think I'm pretty much with you. I don't think it's either or. I think that Pete's, the years have dried up. He's this notion, whenever they crafted this, going back when he went with Boers, hey, we'll get this amount, 7 years. Those days are over. That's not happening. But I do think this, too, and I said this yesterday to Sal, we were talking about the Mets' attendance, which was wildly disappointing.
What was it last night?
A little bit. I'm getting there. A little bit of an uptick, all right? But And again, I'm not telling you guys how to spend your money. I know there's different factors. The school's back, understood. But I also gave you six examples around Major League Baseball in smaller markets. San Diego had 46,000. Milwaukee had 30-something. Tuesday night, the Mets had 21,000. I know it's the Nationals. Okay. But it is a pennant race where even Gary and Keith said it the other night. Last night, 25. So a little slight incremental bump, not impressive still for me. There's got to be more people there. And there will be, as we get deeper in this week. But how can you expect, or why would you expect your owner, I'm not talking to you, Sal, I'm talking to everybody, expecting to go out and offer $600 million for Soto, try to retain Pete, maybe make a splash for another pitcher, when you don't even go to support the product as much as you should?
Are you familiar with the term, if you build it, they will come? I was thinking
about
this.
That shouldn't be the case in New York. Yeah, the Mets have already built it this year.
No, they haven't. No, they haven't.
They'd be a playoff team.
I was thinking about this yesterday after our conversation about the attendance with the Mets. If they traded for Juan Soto the way the Yankees did, what do you think would have happened? If Juan Soto were on the Mets right now, do you think the crowd would still be 25,000?
Well, listen, the answer would be no.
Right, so me neither. So I think, because we're trying to figure out a way, right? What's the excuse? What's the reason? And I'm sure it's not just one
thing. I don't think there is an excuse. Your team's good. Go support them.
No, but there's
other teams are doing
it. There's a lack of star power, and I really believe that the lack of star power leads to the lack of ultimate belief for a fan base that has been beaten down for a long time. A star like Soto brings excitement. Now you want to go see the new shiny toy and the exciting player, one of the best in baseball, Juan Soto, because at any night, anything special could happen. That's a draw. And then because of that, you have people start believing more so in this team than the way they're doing it now, which is great. It's great chemistry. It's fun. But Jose Iglesias has been an integral part. The guy couldn't be in the big leagues for a couple years.
He's batting leadoff now.
That's what I mean. And I'm not trying to mock him.
No, he's hitting .370 against righties.
Right.
So he's been great.
There's something to Juan Soto doing it versus, now it could be.
Yeah, but hold on. Even without Juan Soto, the Yankees always, and I hate to bring this Yankees.
But they still have
the Yankees are just different though, whatever.
No,
they had judge.
They didn't always do it.
Well, that's true. In the 80s, there was some empty seats,
even
too.
With Mattingly hitting that's home runs off the right into empty seats. So yeah. It's not just that. It's a combination. I think that it's been a long time.
I understand that. But to me, then I'm going to flip and say it has been a long time. That's even more reason to go out there and watch it when you have it.
I don't think that ultimately. I think that a lot of fans love this team, and there's good reason
to love this team. Oh, I don't doubt that. Met fans are awesome, but you got to go.
I don't think they believe in the way that they're doing it is legit. And I think they lack star power. That's just my opinion. I believe those are factors. It may not be the primary factors, may not be the only factors. There's other stuff involved, but I know this. The New York Met fan base is as passionate and diehard a fan base as there is in this town.
I agree.
So it doesn't add up that when a team is doing well for a change, that people wouldn't be excited to go to the ballpark.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up.
But it also could be just the opponent as well. In this particular case,
but it's not the opponent because the Mets are 17th on the season.
Okay, would you be excited about going to the game?
Friday night,
but that's different because it's the Phillies. Now we're getting closer to the end. More so, the Phillies Friday night. I would expect the attendance to be over 35 Friday night. No,
It better be
40.
And by the way, 34,999 are going to be booing me.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Right.
They're going to be all over. They'll be all over me.
They won't even notice us sitting there. Don't worry.
They're going to be all over me. Yeah. I can't wait. Come on, step up, Met fans. Show up.
Yeah.
Stop making excuses.
It's not excuses.
No star
I'm giving
power.
Reality,
no this. Dude, you're going to be a playoff team. Go watch the game. That's it.
And you can watch the game from the comfort of your own home.
But you can always watch the game from the comfort of your own home. And they've always had better attendance marks in the 17th. Now, Sal, if there was this discernible drop because it's the Nationals and it's early in the week and it's September, school's back, I would say, all right, there's circumstances that back up the drop here. And it will tick back up, no doubt, this weekend and the rest of the homestand. But they're 17th on the season in home attendance. Yeah. And, you know, that includes games against the Yankees, which I know obviously
saw
that.
But it also includes 2 months of one of the worst teams in baseball.
I understand that.
0-5, 11 games under, you know.
Come on, it's been too quiet there this year. You know that.
Hey, it was one of the predictions you got right. City Field will be a morgue in September. Not quite the morgue that you had thought, but it's obviously disappointing as far as the attendance goes.
Yeah, that's come back on my timeline a little bit. A couple things have with the Mets. A couple things have come back to haunt me. I hear you. Hey, you ain't there yet. You're not there yet. And you don't have Soto yet.
That's exactly what
I'm
saying.
And Lindor's not back yet.
There's work to do here.
There's
for this
a lot
Mets
of work.
Team.
So go support it while the work's being done.
And well, how about this? Do the work, then we'll support. Then we'll come.
No, that is. I know you kind of messed around. That is weak. Do the work and then we'll support it. That's like a Johnny, Johnny come lately popping in.
Hey, that's how it is.
That's not how it should be. We mean that's how it is. You just said that. Then it's an ultimate contradiction. Sal just said, and I agree with the statement, that the Mets in the city, or I think anywhere, are among the most passionate fan bases in all the sports. Well, but then you can't say 3 minutes later, show me and then I'll come. Cubby fans go no matter what.
Because they're losers. I mean, they don't go to watch the game. They go to sit in the bleachers and pound the beers.
Fans like the beer snake.
Going back
to the Rheingold days.
It's a little bit different. I mean, the Cubs don't go for their team. The Mets fans will go
don't go for their teams or the beer.
The only time I was critical of the Mets fan was the postseason in 2022. That's the first time in my life that I experienced something that I was shocked. As it pertains to fandom in the postseason, I was shocked at how pathetic the playoff atmosphere was in 2022. I'm not shocked that on a Tuesday night against the Nationals, the Mets can't, pack 35,000 in there or 40,000. That does not surprise me.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Sounds good, doesn't it, Sally boy? Yanks pulling away from those O's. Burying them quick. Time for the Wendy's Yankees turning point of the game contest last night. Good win in Seattle. Wendy's the official hamburger of the Yankees. First one to correctly identify last night's turning point of the game. Give us a call, and we will hook you up with tickets. 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And two pairs of tickets to a 2024. What remains of the regular season slate. And it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. BT and Sal, 1047 on The Fan. Back to these Alonso calls, 888-808-1019. Howie Rose at 11. Part of our weekly, we'll do this as long as the Mets and the Yankees play. Susan Waldman at 12:30. We'll do it every single Wednesday. And just a quick little insert here before we get back to the Alonso stuff. How about the Woj breaking news? You see this?
Yeah, I did see that. Woj retiring from ESPN. Congratulations to him. He's going to be doing Bonnie stuff?
St. Bonaventure, which is where he went, and he loves that school. It's quite an interesting day for him. He left $20 million on the table, Marchand tweeted. $20 million on the table.
Nice to have those type of decisions.
I'd like to be sitting at that table. Yeah. Pick up the crumbs, man. He's a good dude, and I'm happy for Adrian. So that's a grind. I mean, think about this. If you're a Schefter, if you're an information source, Sal, you really just can never relax. You can't get beat. Chance is good, and that's obviously a battle that Woj, from a pride point of view, right, and ESPN's paying him to win. You got to beat him to stories. It's just the phone's never off. It's crazy.
There's probably not another reporter who, if they announced this news, would even matter. Like, Woj is one that's universally known.
I think Schefter would matter.
Not as much as Woj. I like Woj better.
Yeah. But
I'm just saying, I feel like the Woj bomb. Schefter maybe, but
yeah.
I feel like Woj was so dominant at what he did for so long.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, like Schefter, okay, there's somebody else. You know, there's Jay Glazer, whoever it may be.
That's fair.
Right.
There's more football people.
With Woj, it's like
him and Shams.
And Woj, you know, the Woj bomb became a thing, certainly on social media. So
interesting. Just saw that. All right, let's get back to the Alonso calls. It's PT and Sal. So Pete, he addressed the team. He stepped up. He was a leader before the game. This was a couple of days ago, and I believe this is where Pete starts to go off. I mean, it's about time. I believe this is going to be a little foreshadow of what the next month or so looks like for Pete. He needs it. Charlie and Bethpage, what's up?
Good morning, BT and Sal. Sal, you're killing me. You're Debbie Downer. I mean, when do we get as Met fans? I watched Southamont Conquo when you were calling in, your Met fandom. I mean, Pete Alonso, his numbers are still there. He's not doing what we need him to do. But you know what? I'm dropping my custodian Chuck is going out to the stadium this week and taking his daughters, his son-in-law, his 8-month-old grandson. I'm going to be out there, and I'm supporting Pete, and I want a big weekend from him. Yeah. I'm expecting him to come up big. Oh. And as a Met fan, when do we go out to games in September that were meaningful games? As a fan, this couldn't be any better.
They're not
than
really
this.
Going now, based on the attendance.
Yeah, I'm
well,
confused.
You know what?
I'm confused, Charlie, what your issue is with me. I mean, what do you mean Debbie Downer? I'm just calling it how it is reality. Pete Alonso hit a 3-run homer last night. The game was already over at that point. Pete Alonso has failed to have an impact on this team the way that you would expect him to and the way that the Mets will need him to if they are going to do any serious damage getting to the postseason and then through the postseason. All I'm saying is I need to see more. I need to see it done in a big spot. I'm not saying you can't enjoy last night, and you need to see more from Pete.
Without a doubt. But, Sal, you know, you got to give the guy credit. His first baseman, he always complained about his defense. I think his defense has been unbelievable. And to be honest with you, he has not had a great year. And he should have signed a contract last year.
Well,
he's going to take a big hit on that. But you know what? So let's get him on the cheap. Because the way he's playing, we'll get him on the cheap for next year. Because I can't see anyone giving him big money.
Well, there are different conversations here, Charlie. Thank you for the call. Okay, there's the conversation of what Pete will get when he hits the open market. Then the conversation of should the Mets bring Pete back. Today, to me, the conversation is, will Pete ever get hot this year and carry this team? We've talked about it how many times throughout the course of the season? Oh, now's the time Pete's going to go on a run. Oh, now's the time Pete's going to go on a heater. And it hasn't happened. And again, so last night, he has a big game, 5 RBI, 3-run homer. Oh, you saw the stuff, 2-run bloop single, 3-run homer, double off the wall. Now's the time. There's 11 games left. It is quite literally now or never for Pete Alonso. I'm not worried about his Mets future, BT. I'm not worried about what type of deal he gets, where he's going to get elsewhere, if the Mets are going to get him on the cheap, which I don't think, by the way, is going to be the case, what the Mets should do. Well, we've had those conversations, but we'll continue to have those conversations. Right now, it's about, will this guy actually produce to the level that he is expected to produce to get this team over the hump into the postseason?
I'm still trying to figure out why, when you just said quite literally, you sound like an English poet. What was
literally
that?
Quite literally.
It was a weird insert.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes
it just comes to me, BT.
It was very...
Just taking it and run with it, yeah.
I mean, just like incredibly detailed enunciation. Like, right. that was weird.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It just struck me as funny, but odd. Paul's in Bayshore. Paulie, what's going on, dude? How you feeling today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Okay. What's up, Paul?
I'm just a little disappointed with the Pete take this whole season.
By who?
Son, do you have stats that says that Pete's home runs are meaningless. I mean, I know last night.
Yes, actually, there are all those stats.
There are those. Do you have them? Do you know how many percentage of his home runs have been absolutely meaningless, like last night?
You can look it up. Somebody was saying, actually, last night I was having this conversation in the SNY newsroom, you know, as far as the home runs, when they've come. But, no, here's the thing, Paul. Stats are good for people who don't watch the games. I happen to be a person who watches the games, so I could tell you the impact What?
Yeah, me too.
I shouldn't have to tell you. So then we're together in this. Then I shouldn't have to tell you that Pete's home runs haven't been as impactful as you'd like to have from a guy who hit 33 of them.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The season he's having also gets overshadowed by Lindor and Vientos' emergence. I mean, like when you have those type of players as your teammates, your season and your stats is going to get overshadowed. Yes, I understand. Like, he's having a bad season for him.
Correct.
And he still has 33 home runs.
Correct. Also correct.
You know, that's what we said.
That's a good season for a lot of people.
But that's not the point there, Paul. Yeah, no, it is a good season, unless your name is Pete Alonso. I mean, now these are two different circumstances, and you're going for a 7 or 8 year contract, which you're not going to sniff. Now, listen, as much as I'm propping up Pete here, and I'm happy for him sincerely, let's not be delusional here. Pete has had a wildly disappointing baseball season to the point where I think, really, I don't want to say all time here, that's ridiculous, but in recent memory, I think Pete right now, up until this point, and really no matter what happens the rest of the way, unless he mashes in October, has presented to the Met fans the most disappointing New York baseball season in a long time. When you factor in what he's done prior, when you factor in the expectations based on his contract push, he's giving you a C, C minus, C-ish. That's the kind of season he's giving you. Now, there are only 10 more. Here's a stat. I'll give you a good stat. Because 33 home runs, while it's below his standard, it's still pretty good. There's only 10 more players in baseball with more home runs. Mm-hmm. But of the 10 players, every one of them has a higher OPS. And I would venture to guess, because as bad as OPS with the bases loaded this year is like sub 400, it's frighteningly bad. I would guess, without being able to back up this part, but I'm sure it's a fairly accurate guess, that all of those players have better clutch stats. He has not been clutch. That's not the point today. And he's not been clutch in the past. The point is, maybe this is the beginning of Pete going on a heater.
Right. Because
that's all I'm saying.
We know it's in there. And they said it during the broadcast last night. Gary Cohen talked about it, saying that Pete has not had that impact to carry the team for weeks, during the course of the season, where normally he would do that. That's all. His bad season is still a season that, especially Met fans, would take, you know, the majority of the time. A guy who hits 33 homers and 246, not awful, especially in today's game. You know, back in the 80s, that was an embarrassing average. But today, it's like, the guy hit 246, not bad, especially for a power hitter. But Pete Alonso was expected to do more. And even the All-Star, like, he was an All-Star, but we all knew he didn't deserve to be an All-Star outside of Pete himself. Everybody knew that he didn't deserve to be the Mets' lone representative. Nimmo had more of an impact where he went on a heater. Now, Nimmo's been awful, don't get me wrong, but he went on a 2 or 3 week stretch, maybe a little bit longer than I forget, that was more impactful than anything that Pete has done this season. We talked about Vientos and Iglesias. Obviously, you know about Francisco Lindor. There have been more impactful runs this year, whether it's a couple of weeks, whether it's a month, whether it's 4 or 5 months. And Pete Alonso has just methodically gone about his season hitting, 33 homers to date, but hasn't had that real stretch of impacting games.
No, and Met fans know that. And by the way, we didn't create the standard. Pete did.
Yeah.
By doing what he did since the moment he burst on the scene. Same with Julius Randle, who's had a couple of all-NBA seasons. But once the regular season's over and Randle shoots 36% from the floor, often worse, hopefully it changes, in the postseason, we get on Julius Randle. You know, Shesterkin is phenomenal. You give up a couple of softies in a playoff game, it's your standard. We're going to react to that. Edwin Diaz, he's had some great seasons here. His ERA is over 4. We're going to react to that. It's the standard created by Pete that we react to. We're not making this up. It is what it is. 888-808, but I'm happy for him. I really am. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, coming up. All right, he was in the booth last night. The voice of the Mets, Howie Rose. We'll do Yankees later. Susan Waldman, BT and Sal on the Fan.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business.
Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.